Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling right. We are back in the motherfucking dunya. Boy, even before we introduce ourselves, we're going to apologize because
100%.
We have not been doing our due diligence. I mean, it's not our fault, but this isn't about pointing fingers or it's about us taking accountability. We're still trying to get back into the shift of figuring out what day works and what doesn't work. But let's say the next 2 weeks, we're going to be back on form. I think we're going to stick to maybe Monday releases. What do you think?
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah, Monday releases. We're going to do as much as we can in it. But yeah, but let's not dwell. It's your boy Doughboy with my co-host of the most, Young Wolf, Young Sasuke.
But I'm liking that one. I need to start using it. I don't be using that away from the pod. I need to start using it.
What are you telling me, bro? How's everything?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good. We're here. That's the most important thing.
That's the most important thing. All right, cool. Let's get the bullshit out of the way. Ring of Honor. What are we saying?
Bro. Same old. Nothing developing. Same old formula.
They're back in Universal Studios, which is a plus.
Which is a plus. It looks nice. But yeah, I don't know. It's a struggle to sit through. I'm not gonna lie. And I say this every week. But I feel like probably we're going to have to end up alternating who watches the show because I know for you it's getting to be a struggle as well. So
bro, I'm struggling, man.
I'm struggling, bro.
It's like I would watch it and, there's high points and then the low points just like, oh, fuck's sake, man. Why are we doing this? Why the fuck are we doing this? But let's even quickly go through the card real quick.
Yes,
sir. Quick question even before we go on the card.
Mm.
Nigel McGuinness has been on commentary for maybe like the last 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
How do you feel about his commentary with Enric Abani and Caprice Coleman?
It's all right. It's not what it was in NXT.
Do you feel like he's setting them back a little bit?
A little bit. I feel like they've gone like this to be on the same level as what he's doing. Yeah. Versus when he wasn't there, these men were like this, just always up here, just tandem, energy. Yeah.
And like you said, I feel like they're having to kind of like even some of like the jokes and the one-liners they try to do, it's like Nigel's kind of like the old man. And it's like,
you're not
that old, let's be real. You're not that old. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's like, I was watching this week, and I was thinking, I don't really enjoy the commentary with Nigel McGuinness on it. I think Nigel McGuinness is a great commentator.
Mm.
But I just feel like Ian and Caprice have such good chemistry.
They do.
That when you add someone else to the mix, kind of makes it kind of as jambalaya to it, man. You know what I mean? But
nah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, let's even quickly go through the card. I'm sure there's matches that we don't have to speak about. Okay, cool. Shane Taylor versus Mark Briscoe. That was a very good opener.
Yeah, I enjoyed
very
that.
Very good opener. I feel like we kind of have an idea with the direction what they're doing with Jay. Shane, I think they're trying to maybe show us that, you know what, he's interested in whatever belt there is. They mentioned the fact he mentioned that, he was preying up Alex Coughlin and Shibata TV title. So, I mean, I feel like it's a good means for them to kind of like push Shane Taylor, but he still needs some sort of direction. I feel like clear cut divisions is what is needed.
Yeah, you've been saying this.
Clear cut divisions.
One bit at the beginning where I said to myself, okay, he must be healing a little bit, but Shane said something along the lines of, I'm going to beat you the way I beat your brother or something like that. And I felt like hearing that, I was just like, okay. Cause like that's a heel line.
Yeah.
If I ever heard one, but I'm happy in a way that we're at a place where Mark is kind of healing.
Yeah.
And things like that can push either storylines or just enhance the match a little bit more because it's gonna happen. Do you know what I mean? Definitely. People are gonna go touch back onto his late brother. But yeah, I heard that. I said, whoa, I was shocked. I was like, rah, off rip. That. First 5 minutes. But yeah, the match was good, didn't have a problem with it. And keep it moving.
Then we had Claudio and Willie Uter, BCC versus Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus, formerly known as part of the Foundation. this was a good match.
It was. I can't lie. I can't hate.
Oh, man's up. This is a good match, man. I can't lie. This was a very, 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 very good match. But my issue is, and I don't care what anyone says, I'm always going to have to bring this up. Does Claudio need the world title?
Nope. This is proving it. After this stint that he's had after Supercard of Honor, it's proved that he doesn't need the world title because he's not doing anything.
That world title because he's not doing shit with it. I mean, on one end, it's good that Eddie didn't win the title because we'd be right back at square one, and mm-hmm. we may have to do what is Tony Khan like doing? What's it called? Interim champions. Maybe it's good that Eddie didn't win because Eddie's injured at the moment. But at the same time, it's like Claudio has a lot going on for him in AEW. This belt could be freed up to someone else.
No, 100%. 100%.
But, yeah, I can't complain. Claudio killed it in this match. Willie Uta killed it in this match. Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus, they both killed it in this match. And I liked a lot of the commentator points that they were making, how all of them are kind of like intertwined within each other's careers. Mm-hmm. Tracy Williams is one of Willie Uta's trainers. I think Rhett Titus had his first Ring of Honor match against Claudio. That everybody's interconnected, intertwined some way, but it's very, very believable. And Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus have shown that they're a formidable tag team.
They need to win the belts.
This is what we need to be doing. We can't be having tag teams where they're being built, and then they're not winning matches. So from here on out, Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus need to be squaring up with more so of the likes of the Kingdom and the Infantry and Christopher Daniels and Evan Bourne. They need to be solidifying themselves within the division just to make sure that, you know what, we are a team to watch.
Yeah, 100%.
Tony Khan's booking it, so I don't know. We had Samoa Joe versus Blake Christian for the TV title. It was a decent TV title match. Just quick.
It was all right.
Good, decent showcase for...
I did expect a bit more from it, considering who was in the ring. But, it was all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care for that. The Righteous versus the Infantry. I can't lie. The stocks for Infantry at some point is going to plummet. It's not going to plummet. It's going to plummet. Because,
hey,
brother, like, bro, the crowd is behind them. You can clearly see the crowd, like, so clearly, bro, at this point, put them against people that will just drop. So that way we can build some sort of momentum. We fucked with them the first week. We didn't see them for a while. The next few, you know, they're losing matches. So how do you expect us to care?
Bro. And then them as a tag team is just interesting. They remind me of Street Profits, but just like they're still doing their own thing. Like they're still them, but they just give me that Street Profits vibe. And bro, that Eurostep slap is so funny. Every time I see it, I just pop because it comes out of nowhere. Pause. But hey, Tony Khan needs to do something with these.
Stu Grayson came out on the ramp to watch halfway. What do you think? What do you think is gonna happen? Do you think he's gonna join the Righteous? Do you think?
It can't hurt. It makes sense. Bro, I can't lie. When the Righteous come out, I'll be clicking as well. I'm not even gonna cap.
I'm a Vincent fan. I fuck with Vincent. Vincent's cold. But do I care? Because at this rate, I'll be real. I don't care for the Dark Order. I want them to fuck off.
Yeah,
I like Alex Reynolds. I like Stu Grayson. I like Evil English. I like Evil Uno. I like these men. I fuck with them. I fuck with these men. But bro, listen. There's not much. I don't give a shit, man.
It's like it makes sense, but it's just one of them things where you look at it and you're just like, cool. Like it's not gonna have any impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Vert Vixen versus Robin Renegade. I did not
give a shit. Didn't care.
Why should you care? Robin Renegade has not really been like. I don't remember a match she's won on TV for Ring of Honor. Maybe she won some matches on Dark, but they shouldn't be consequential of each other. Unfortunately, there is. We had Ninja Mac versus Willie Mac, the Max. This should have been an opener, if I'm being honest.
You think?
this should have been, this should have opened. This match was like, wasn't a great match. I've seen them wrestle better matches, but it's a nice introduction for, if you've never seen them before, this is just like a nice warm up to kind of see where they go from here. And, you know, Ninja Mac is killing it in Noah. Willie Mack is just everywhere and absolutely killing it. Mm. I do hope this is, for Willie Mack, more so a mainstay for him. I feel like he deserves to be in the company. Like, he was in Impact a few years ago. He's no longer there, but I feel like he needs a bigger stage to showcase what he can do.
I feel you. Fair enough.
We had the Embassy versus Lucky Ali, Adam Priest, and Victor Benjamin.
Didn't care.
Embassy have not lost a match.
Yeah, so, but I just didn't care. I was, you know, you knew what you was gonna get when you saw the lineup.
This next match. I'm sorry. Bag of Adizio, baby! Alright. Carl Fletcher versus Cody Deppen.
Oh, they cooked, bro. They cooked.
This match,
Carl Fletcher is him.
This match.
Bro. Carl Fletcher is him.
This match. God in heaven. God be an anchor. Because I need to be weighed down. Pause if necessary. That match was crazy, man. Fuck.
MT showed out.
That match was fucking crazy. Like, both of them absolutely showed out.
Mm.
I did like, there was a touch at the end where the referee hit three and Tony Deppen kicked out on three. I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if it was an accident. But for me, that was a great touch. I feel like we kind of do need to see more of that here and there, you sparingly, of someone still trying to beat the count.
Kick out,
missing it by an inch or so, pause if necessary. Like, that was such a great touch. The match alone, some of the sequences was just... Carl Fletcher is young, but he gets it.
But this is something that someone touched on commentary. I think it was... No, it wasn't Nigel McGuinness, but he added input into it. But the fact that Carl Fletcher is learning from two very experienced performers around him, and he's gaining that knowledge. He's got that ring awareness, that ring presence. Like, bro, I didn't realize how big Carl Fletcher was until today.
He's tall, fam.
So, shout out to the commentary team for touching on that, because it was really important.
And one thing I do love about Ringo's commentary is that they're able to add these Easter eggs and let you know why certain things are a certain type of way, people's past, certain maneuvers that people may do, paying homage to this and that. Like, Enric Abani and Caprice Coleman and Nigel McGuinness, though Nigel can improve in places.
He's moving a bit.
They're the best commentators. Like,
100%.
They are absolutely great when it comes to Ring of Honor history, piecing things together.
Yeah,
making you understand why certain things make sense, why certain moves are used. Maybe, bro, they're absolutely great, absolutely great.
Perfect duo, honestly.
Next match had Anthony Henry versus JD Drake. Anthony Henry versus AR Fox with JD Drake. This was a good match.
A good match. AR Fox showing out as per usual. I don't know what they do with him. I don't know where he goes, because he just feels a bit lost.
This is my problem. Oh, I don't know what they fucking do with him. I honestly don't know. I feel like, again, like you said, he's very lost. He was contending for the trios title, and now he then had a match against Claudio for the world title.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm still kind of stuck on where he fit, not where he fits on the roster, but what is being done with him. It's clear that you want to push him, but what exactly is the next step for him?
Because, and by the way,
parts of the card, and I'm just very like, I don't know where to look at this point.
Yeah, and by the way, like, to anyone listening, we're not saying that everybody has to win a championship, but we're just saying that they need to have some sort of direction in these divisions, because right now they just seem to be just here. Oh, yeah, you'll do. Oh, yeah, you can do over there. Oh, yeah, now come back and fight for the TV title, but then maybe you can go for the... Just lock it in a bit more.
Like, what's every wrestler's goal? Like, what is the intended goal for this wrestler? Is it to showcase his skills in this particular type of division? Is it to gun after this division? Or is he just purely there just for matches? Or is he just there for fodders? We've seen it time and time again. Trustbusters, Varsity Club, whatever they're called. They're people that are just going to be taking L's. They will win sparingly here and there against people we don't give a shit about. And then when it comes to the people you want to push, they're just the people that are just going to eat pins. That's about it. And I hate that for them because there needs to be some sort of balance.
Yeah.
Trustbusters need to be beating people that matter as well as losing to people that matter. And that's one thing I don't like about AEW's formula. It seems to be a thing of if you don't matter at this point, you're just gonna eat pins whenever.
Mm-hmm.
But just to help you, you're gonna still beat these people that don't matter also. But then there needs to be some sort of balance. Because at some point, let's say for example, Trustbusters do end up winning a tag team title or end up winning a number one contendership. How do they get that if all we've been seeing them do for the past year is lose?
Yeah,
and it shouldn't be, oh, because we saw they won a couple matches on AEW Dark, that's how they got this spot. That's not how things work. Things shouldn't work that way.
Mm.
It doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
We had Dark Order versus Josh Woods and the Trustbusters. Dark Order obviously won. Uno and Grayson run their fatality finisher. Absolutely amazing finisher. But do we care?
Nope.
We don't care. And the final match, which was pretty good. I'll give it that, but I still don't give a shit.
Mm.
Athena versus Sky Blue.
How many main events has Athena been in now since we started Ring of Honor? Like four, maybe?
She's been in a couple. I'll give Sky Blue her credit. This match was good.
Yeah.
Wasn't my match of the night because I felt like it was kind of slow getting into it. And I hate Sky Blue's theme song.
I don't mind it, you know.
Oh bro, I can't lie. The minute I heard her theme songs, I think because I don't pay attention to a lot of these wrestlers' theme songs, I don't like if I don't care for you, I'm not paying attention. This is the first time I actually heard her theme song properly. I said, hey, what? Is this what she's coming out to? And she's over like this. No, you lot are mocking it. You lot are fam, you're taking the fucking
Yo.
I hate her theme song.
I think it's all right, bro.
I think her theme song sucks. So even then, I was like, I started screwing my face. I said, oh, I don't want to watch this match. The match was already starting slow, but as time went on, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Actually a good match. Actually a very good match.
And this is something that Fiend is getting good at. She's just learning how to bring the best out of her opponents.
Yeah, 100%.
She hasn't had a bad match, and that's just down to her being very, very good and her opponents meeting what she's trying to do in the ring. Yeah. This is the best Sky Blue's looked, personally.
Yeah,
and hopefully she learns from this and she can just improve on her skills and hone her ability in the ring.
Where does Athena go from here?
Oh, bro. Me, personally, I don't think she needs to be on TV every week, first of all.
Proving ground matches are killing our people.
They're killing them. She doesn't need to be on TV every week. And I think it goes back again to what you were saying, where Ring of Honor need to start formulating a vision for the women. Like, and we know exactly who is on the Ring of Honor women's division. None of these crossovers from AEW bring people in from Japan because you've got that connection, the relationships there.
Yeah.
But solidify the division, and maybe I wouldn't mind sitting through a tournament. Maybe have a women's division tournament to crown a number one contender for the next pay-per-view. I don't know when that is. And then we kind of build a story between that winner and Athena. But right now, it's just a bit.
And bro, even then, you can even still build stories between women within that tournament. So that way, the feuds that women are having aren't just solely focused on, okay, cool, it's my turn to now fight for the women's title. There should be like proving ground matches. That's one thing. I love this podcast, but it seems like we're having to repeat ourselves each and every week on certain things because it's like we have to get the point out so people understand it. Proving ground matches are not necessary. Why don't they prove themselves against other people? Why do they need to defeat the champion? Because one, we rarely see any champions lose in these proven ground eliminations.
And they shouldn't be losing these matches, by the way.
And if they do lose, it should be due to a shenanigan where it builds the story evil. So let's say, for example, Sky Blue. Let's say it's not even Sky Blue that's facing Athena. Let's say it's some other bozo that's facing... I say bozo lightly, so nobody come and shoot me. She just faces some other bozo, no entrance. She's just there. They say her name, and obviously Athena comes out. We already know that Fing is feuding Sky... Athena's feuding Sky Blue. Sky Blue could cause an upset for this bozo to beat Athena.
Mm.
That, in turn, causes some rift, more of a rift between Sky Blue and Athena. So that way, when they do eventually face, they will personal. Yeah. It's long. And obviously, on top of that, Athena can win a match that actually matters. And on top of that, she lost a proven grand match. She lost a proven... And the thing, she doesn't even have to lose mad. You have to last 10 minutes with the champion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to last 10 minutes with the champion. It could easily be a thing where it's a draw.
Yeah.
Sky Blue takes the lady out with 5 seconds left on the counter. Athena's trying to get her back into the ring to pin her. Sky Blue's not letting it happen. 10 minutes, she wins the proven grand match in order to get the title match. Bro, simple booking. Simple. But no. Women just come and fight for no reason. And then next thing you know, yeah, I've won one match. I think I'm going to face Athena now.
Shouldn't work like that, man.
It shouldn't work like that. It shouldn't work like that. But then it's like, okay, what else have you got going on for you besides just coming to wrestle matches? There needs to be, like, I get it, we're wrestling fans, but at the same time, we have to make things make sense.
Yeah.
There has to be sort of story in regards to, cool, I am Fated Fastener champion, but then what is my actual issue with you? What's my issue with this lady? Like, I'm just fighting you and that's that. We just shake hands and we bounce. That's cool. But if you're trying to build a division, that shouldn't be every single match. If you have one or two matches a night where, you know, it's just an exhibition match, they shake hands, do whatever. But at the same time, there should be maybe one or two matches that are driving a story forward, whether it's mm-hmm. driving a story towards the champ or driving a story towards a feud outside of the title. But we're mad. We're clearly mad people that don't know.
Of course.
I don't know wrestling. Let's go somewhere where they do know about wrestling stories. MLW.
I didn't check MLW, you know.
MLW this week was okay. That faction that Raven has.
Yeah.
They are beating, they're whooping everybody's ass, man. They are whooping everybody's ass. So it's been November, I think July 9th, 6th, never say never, MLW's next pay-per-view. We have Hammerstone versus Alex Kane. Alex Kane is fucking over.
Great.
To think months ago, Bombay Fight Club were heels. But
and now they're full clear baby faces, fam.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Maybe it just shows that the crowd are tired of Alex Hammerstone, man. He had the match against Mr. Thomas. So, yeah, that match is terrible. But you know. Hammerstone is gonna win. Obviously, he needs to go over. And then the call-in came out to come and fight Hammerstone. Jacob Fatu and SST came and done the save. Then we had a good match, the MLW Tag Team Champions, Samoan SWAT Team versus the main event. I can't lie to you, that match, yeah.
Cool.
Cooking. Nice, quick tag team match. Cooking. My English today is suffering. It must be the weather. We haven't seen heat in a while, but yeah. That match was good. The main event, I think they might still be tag team champions on House of Glory. I know last time I checked House of Glory, they defeated the Briscoes for the tag team titles. But yeah, they're good. They're very, very good. I implore you to watch that. It was a quick, nice match. We had a match, a women's match, Becca versus Brittany Blake. So Becca has this gimmick where she's like an international pop star. And that's Becca with a 3, not an E. So I don't know if she's Ghanaian or whatever, but she has this, I don't know, like this Britney Spears-esque Gillian Hall kind of...
Oh, wait, singing. I think I did watch it. Did she come into the ring with a microphone?
Yeah, she had a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I did watch it. I was thinking,
who the fuck is this bozo? But...
She cooked.
But... Carla, she fucking cooked.
She cooked. I remember.
Hey, Becca, I don't know if you're going to see this. You are fucking incredible. And I think it might be Taya Valkyrie who's the featherweight champion. You have to win that.
Lisa. Yeah, she's cold.
Bro, and she was trained by Drew Gulak. Bro, she is bloody incredible.
Do you know what's funny as well? I remember the crowd weren't really feeling
bro, the crowd are fucking with her. But...
And then as soon as she finished, they were
bro,
all
as
clapping.
Soon as that match was done, bro, they said, yeah, I'm a believer. And me too, I'm a believer. Me, I'm a Becca stan. I'm a Becca. Hey, bro, she's cold.
She spun the block,
bro,
man.
She done one super kick, yeah? And her legs are mad long. I said, from when she nipped up and they mentioned, she was trained by Drew Gulak, I said, yeah, we're in for a treat.
Yeah,
she done a super kick. I said, okay. Then she done some, like, Topic and Hilo. No, she tried to go for it and then Vervix and Brittany Blake reversed it. Her 450 at the end.
Lean, bro.
I think she calls it the World Tour.
Makes sense as well. Nah, she. I remember when you mentioned it, it all came flooding back, and bro, I said, "Oh wait, I did watch MLW. She cooked.
She absolutely cooked.
She's gonna have a lot of eyes on her."
Nah, bro. She's I don't know what's gonna happen in the next 2-3 years. If she's not signed by WWE, I'll be very, 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 very shocked. I definitely think that international pop star gimmick, though they've done it before with Jillian Hall, they can make it work. 100%.
She can make it work, definitely, yeah.
She can definitely make it work. That is something I would like to see week in, week out on national TV. Bro, the type of skits you can do, she can have her own, like, Beck Gala. Like, bro, there's so many different stuff that she can... Bro, there's so many different stuff she can do with it. She can have her own album release, but like, she can even have her own type of match. Bro, it's her own cinematic match in a recording studio where she goes into the studio, sings
that
song. Oh,
that would be cold.
And then she comes out as that artist. Like, bro, she can make it happen, bro. She can make it absolutely happen. And then we had the main event, John Hennigan versus Jacob Fatu. That didn't take place because the call-in
tactic just came out and mash up everyone.
Yeah. MLW is a nice, easy watch.
It is.
Nice, easy watch. Hour, two, three, four matches, a few segments here and there. They've done the dance with all that Lucha shit. So
they definitely heard us. I can't lie. They definitely
they've
heard
done
us.
The
Someone...
dance with the Lucha shit. So, yeah, there's been a few spoilers that I accidentally saw when I was looking for the results for, but I won't get into it.
Yeah, let's not. But the good thing is, for those of you that keep constantly saying, oh, I can't find MLW, it's coming back to YouTube on the
25th. Yeah, it's coming back to YouTube, yeah.
25th of May, so you'll be able to check it out.
Or if, I mean, to be fair, if you can find any other what wrestling programs, you can definitely find MLW.
Yeah.
They're just being lazy. That's what
Allegedly,
yeah. Not me that said it. Let's quickly go into Impact. How do you find Impact?
I'm not going to go into too much detail with this one, but I do feel sorry for, is it Steve Macklin, the world champion?
Yeah.
I do feel sorry for him because... he's definitely been overshadowed with the introduction of Trinity.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault. It's not Trinity's fault. It's just Impact prioritizing what needs to be prioritized at this moment in time and what's going to get them draws and ratings. Trinity, for me, seems a bit... not nervous, but I'm not, like... she doesn't seem believable right now. Like, just her confidence when she's cutting promos or when she's talking, it seems very forced. That's my issue.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
I don't know. It's tough because Steve has been waiting so long to win this world title and bro's not even been in the main event.
He's been in the mid card. He had a match against Rhino. Mm. And they were selling Rhino pretty heavy, like before the show even started. Big up Rhino. Heavy accolades within TNA as it is.
That's my guy.
It was proper interesting to kind of see where they go. She hasn't yet debuted, she's had her debut, but she hasn't yet debuted like an actual match on TV yet, which should be interesting. They've done some sort of like, can they coexist with Jordan Grace?
I hate matches like that.
Which, as soon as the match started, you knew there was going to be some sort of shenanigans.
Yeah. But the women's division seems to be the spotlight right now. And, like I said, it's not anyone's fault. It's just, you have to prioritize where the money is. And right now, the money is with Trinity. Jordan Grace is great. Deonna's great. Like, it just makes sense, innit? But it is unfortunate for Steve because he's been waiting so long to win this. And as soon as he gets his chance, a bigger name walks through the door. Yeah. But Impact is fine. Yeah, it is what it is.
I mean, there was not any notable matches worth speaking about. But I mean, nice, easy viewing. Spent segments here and there. Impact. I don't really have much to say about it this week. Let's quickly touch on New Japan versus Super Juniors.
Put on the mic now.
I'm not going to go super into depth. I'm just going to speak about quickly about that one. Every match was good. Big up Dan Maloney. He had his debut in Japan for New Japan, which was dope. Doki versus Kushida was dope. Taiji Ishimori versus Taguchi was good. Leo Rush versus Show was good. One day I'll have a conversation about Show. Titan versus TJP was very good. Kanemaru versus Eldest Brother was good. But you see this fight, you see this people, Mike Bailey, and it's a Roman Takahashi. You see that shit? You see that shit?
Hey,
that's some good shit. That match was fucking banger, but this year, I can't lie.
Banger.
Fucking Banga Badizio. Banga Badizio, baby.
My goodness. I watched the match twice. That's how good it was.
Mike, the minute they announced Mike Bailey to be in the Best of Super Juniors, I said, you know what? The world doesn't even know what's... They don't know the treat that they're in for if you've never seen Mike Bailey. For me, Mike Bailey was top three wrestlers of 2022.
Well, fair enough.
Keeps going. Keeps going. Like, there's not many wrestlers that I can say has had as many quality matches as Mike Bailey. The only people I can compare in regards to last year is Will Ospreay and John Moxley in consistent great matches. Mike Bailey's up there with the best of them. So this year alone, he's been reeling them off. And yeah, just to add another one to his trinket of accomplishments.
Hiromu is him as well, fam.
Hiromu is killing it. I need to catch up on the last few, like last 3 days. 2 days. I've watched night one and night two, but
yeah, I watched the one that came out this week, I think, or just the last couple of days. I won't spoil the winner or anything, but he did face off against Leo Rush, and you can imagine what type of match that was.
I mean, you can spoil it, so I'm going to watch it anyway.
Hey, that match was fucking cold. Oh my gosh. Leo Rush is him.
Bro, he's fucking over in Japan, you know. They love him in Japan.
He needs to stay there, bro. He's so good in Japan.
They love him in Japan.
I'm so happy he's back. Like, not doing this in and out thing, like he's just locked in now. You can tell he's giving wrestling his all now.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see. But Hiromu again, it feels like they're just kind of like, hey, you're gonna lose, but just go and do what you need to do best.
Even before we end, who do you see winning versus Super Juniors? Who do you see winning and who do you want to win?
I want Leo to win.
Yeah.
But I see Speedball winning. Speedball just seems to just have the everything just in his hands right now. Like, the world is in his hands. And the promo he cut after he won, the fans,
they fucked with
him. Yeah, they mess with him heavy.
You can tell he's just happy to be there, man.
For real. For real. And he's sick. He thinks he's sick. Bro was just trying. Was he speaking three different languages?
Yeah.
He's cold. Hey. Then when he started speaking three different languages, I sat there and I said to myself, you know when Dell said that he's going to win the world title by the end of the year? I meant that shit.
Who do I want to win? I want either Sho to win or Mike Bailey to win. Who I see winning is either Mike Bailey or El Desperado. Like El Desperado has come so close that he needs that win. I don't. If Hiromi wins, I will probably never watch. I mean, I'll probably never watch New Japan again.
Why?
I'm tired, man. I've had enough. It's not every day. It's not every day. You've won it like 3 or 4 times now. Like, give other people a chance. And now that we've got like a stacked Best of Super Junior with different people. Don't get me wrong. I mean, maybe we have to do another episode of people I would have also added to it. But yeah, like, give us someone new, man. Give us like, you've given us Sonata as world champion. Give us someone new.
I feel like
shock
they
me.
Will.
Because, shock me.
Yeah. I feel like they will because New Japan just seems to be going in this new direction recently.
Shock me. If you want, give me Doki. Let Doki win.
I wouldn't even mind TJP winning.
Oh, bro, I would love it. I love TJP.
I love TJP, bro.
If you want, give me Kanemaru. I don't give a shit. Even Francesco, I just want anyone besides Romy. Anyone besides Romy, I'm happy. That's that. Because, bro, it's enough. There's applying pressure and then there's oppression. You can't apply, like, there's applying pressure and there's oppression. And Hiromi winning again, you've oppressed
him. It's oppression.
And me as a black man, I'm tired of being oppressed. Just give me what I want, damn it. matchup. What are we saying for match recommendations this week? I'll go first.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay versus Mike Bailey from their Rev Pro match last year. Find it. It's an amazing match.
Wait, who did you just say? Leo
Will Ospreay versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
Oh, Speedball Mike Bailey. Okay. I'm going with Leo Rush versus Commander from GCW.
Good match. Very good. Any final words?
Hey, man, we're going to try and be consistent. We're going to try and be here every Monday as we can. Professional professional wrestlers, if you want to come on here and speak, if you're in the independent shit, man. Scene.
Yeah. I was actually chatting to Alex Kane. I was on the DMs with him. We were busting a bit of joke. And I asked him, when are you coming to London? And he said, bro, once I win that world title, I'm here. So, listen, bro.
Is that a spoiler?
I don't think it's a spoiler. I think it's more so a thing of like, listen, bro, let me whoop Hammerstone's ass and then I'm going to come to London. So I'm like, bro, listen, make sure you win that belt because Indie Takers are trying to see you, my nigga.
For real.
Necessary, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, Indie Takers, it boys. You guys know what to do. You guys know what's necessary. Yeah, like Jem said, we're going to be as consistent as we can. Gamers, WWE 2K gamers, we have some great news for you. Some great people coming on. Don't know when. We're still in the midst of sorting that out. But if you're a 2K gamer, this episode will be dedicated to you. Because much as we're indie takers, let's talk about independent gamers.
Gamers,
So, yeah, man. And also, for you 2K guys, check out Dragon Temple Wrestling, Combat with Honor, and Rest Things Wrestling. We have our own gaming network where, if you want to create, you just have some fucking fun. Create yourself, you get involved, storylines, everything. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's it, man. Peace, guys.
We out.